Well, we're here today in a special way to celebrate His worth in His first coming, born in Bethlehem. And to that end, let's read from Scripture the story about His birth as told in Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. And we will also read John 3, verse 16 and 17. Hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 2. Let us adore Christ the Savior, even as we read this scripture. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And then we go to John 3, verse 16 and 17. We read there, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Amen. May the Lord bless just the reading of His word to us. We want to think this morning about Luke 2, 1 to 20, and John 3, 16, telling us about God's precious gift. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, today is Christmas Day 2020. And what a privilege and reason for thankfulness that we can pause for an hour, even from our homes, to worship God for the sending of His Son to this earth to seek and to save sinners like us all. And again now, just we read the most beautiful, glorious story, giving us some of the historical facts in connection with Jesus' birth in Bethlehem so long ago. We know as church family, don't we, that one of the very good and important ways to understand any passage of the Bible is to compare it to other passages in the Bible. Let Scripture interpret Scripture is a basic rule for understanding of the Bible correctly. No text can be rightly understood except we understand it in the light of the whole of the Bible. And so this morning, I thought to give us all, as church family, and whoever is listening, a special challenge. I'm thinking here now, too, of the fact that presently, with all the COVID-related restrictions, we can't get out as much to visit and to do other activities. And what is my challenge to everyone, to the children, to the youth, and to all the adults, too? Well, how about if I give it at the end of the sermon? It's a great Christmas holiday activity, which I'm proposing. I'm sure of that. And I would love to see what you all come up with, whoever will take me up on this challenge. But come, first now, let's hear this Christmas Day 2020 worship service gospel message. Not only did we read Luke 2, 1 to 20, but we read also from John 3, verse 16 and 17. And now in this sermon, we want to think of the passage in Luke in the light of the verses from John, especially John 3, 16. The theme for the sermon is Luke 2, 1 to 20 and John 3, 16. God's precious gift, we will notice, so needed, just priceless, all free, and most earnest. Those will be our four thoughts. You agree with me, don't you? The tidings of Jesus' birth, as told in Luke 2, are all about God's precious gift of His only begotten Son, given in the fullness of time. Well, that true story, as recorded by Dr. Luke, by the leading of the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, that story of God's precious gift, surely it is told to us as a precious gift so needed. And what in Luke 2 would make us say this? Jesus' birth happened, says Luke, in those days. And what days were they? Those days. They were dark days, especially for the true people of God. The Jews, as God's covenant people, were a people under Roman dictatorship and rule. And the ruling monarch, Caesar Augustus, and someone like Herod, they were very ungodly, self-centered leaders of the world who demanded even the worship of the people towards themselves. And they were ruthless towards anyone that defied them. Plus, in the context, we are told, just like we now, in our day, are dealing with all kinds of government regulations, like it or not. So in those days that Luke tells us about in Luke 2, there was a decree given that everyone had to get registered in their city of origin, all for tax and government census and control purposes. Yes, regardless how inconvenient it might be, and no matter the personal circumstances of the people, like even a pregnant wife near her due date, as was the case we know with Mary, with her miracle child, never mind, you need to follow the orders and get registered, or else. There was no toleration for bending the rules from Caesar Augustus. But worse even, yes, far worse even, than the political and social trials of that time, when Jesus was born, is the fact that there was so much spiritual darkness and deadness and dryness and waywardness and hypocrisy and deceit and wickedness in those times. Not just among the heathen Romans and the ungodly nations, but in particular too, among the Jews, as the long-time covenant people of God. The Bible teaches us, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that spiritual darkness and blindness and deceitfulness and confusion was rampant in the time in which Jesus was born. Before Jesus' birth, considering the history of Israel and all the world, as told us in the Old Testament, it is made so clear, dear congregation, when reading the Scriptures in faith, that this fallen world is altogether suffering under the curse and chaos and corruption of sin and in bondage to Satan. And no one of fallen mankind can ever bring true and lasting deliverance and healing in this world. There's only one who can bring true help and hope for sinners like us all by nature. And that is the God-given Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, the Lord. He came, born into this world, as the one mediator between God and man. And He came to bring salvation for otherwise hopelessly, helplessly lost and corrupted, ruined, guilty mankind. In all the dark ages of human history, yes, also very much to the present day, Jesus alone shines as the light of the world. He, and He in and with whom is no darkness at all, and who alone is able to save us. He is the ultimate remedy from all sin and evil, and from all corruption, from all blindness and darkness and misery and oppression and depression and eternal punishment left to ourselves. So what is our first point, congregation? God so loved the world, this miserable world fallen in sin, that He gave His only begotten Son. And we have to say, don't we, when we see it rightly, Jesus' birth in the fullness of time is all about this. God's precious gift, so needed by us. Isn't this what the whole Bible teaches and what all history proves? Well, is this all our testimony, also this Christmas Day, 2020? Do you personally confess and live as someone who knows God's precious gift, as given in Jesus, come to this earth, is so needed by us, and certainly, especially by myself, lost and depraved sinner as I am by nature, before God and my neighbor? Is that what you acknowledge? You know, this week, we had quite a snowstorm, didn't we, here in Calgary and Alberta? At least around a foot of snow by us, maybe more in Okotoks, I'm not sure, or other places. But it made me think about how many with Christmas, all they want especially, and what they say they need and want more than anything, is a snow-white Christmas. I've been dreaming of a white Christmas, is a popular song. And it reflects people's hope with Christmas. A congregation. The tidings of Jesus' birth are not about an inch and more of snow on the ground, but about the way of God's deliverance, saving sinners and washing us whiter than snow for sure and forever. And you see, for this, God sent His only begotten Son into the world. And for this, Jesus came. And for this, Luke 2 and John 3, 16 to 17 is recorded for us by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that our fallen world, even in our dark and difficult times, as we are experiencing presently, might learn the gospel message about God's precious gift so needed by us all. But then the church and we in our families must be faithful and diligent in teaching and proclaiming this gospel message. And with God's help, isn't that what we also aim to do? And what we pray God to bless by His Holy Spirit? Yes, especially Sunday after Sunday and year after year. Are you all receiving this message and reflecting it in your life too by God's grace and Spirit? We have good news to tell in our needy world and needy lives. For God so loved this needy, sinful, lost, and perishing world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, come, let us adore Him. And here we come to our next truth about the gospel message of Luke 2 and John 3, 16 and 17. God's precious gift of His Son is not only so needed by us, but clearly His precious gift is just priceless, a priceless gift. How so, you ask? Well, Jesus is God. God's only begotten Son, one of the persons of the Holy Trinity, equal to God Himself in every way, in all ways. He's endlessly loved by God from eternity to eternity. But God sent Him, His only begotten Son, and Jesus willingly came. And the Holy Spirit was intimately involved in His coming when Jesus miraculously and unfathomably became man. God became man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It is all a mystery and a wonder, too great ever fully to comprehend. Great is the mystery of godliness, exclaims Paul in 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. He exalts in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. And yes, now Luke, in chapters 1 and 2, he tells us in wonder about something of the amazing historical facts with the long-promised Messiah come at last, come in the fullness of time, God's time, born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger when born. Jesus' coming is all a priceless gift, not only because it was from God and involved God Himself becoming man, totally giving Himself sinners to save, but think of this too, Jesus Himself not hesitating, but most willing to come and to do all as Savior God with us, for us. He came sinners to save. Jesus knew He, by His righteous life and shed blood on this cross, could save sinners like us. And it was the only way. He knew that well. So Jesus gave Himself. Yes, no matter the suffering and anguish it would require. To serve as Savior required no less than enduring in His humanity all the darts of Satan, as read from Revelation 12. And all the hatred and ridicule of people. And all the chaos and misery of this fallen world. And all the righteous punishment of God in the sinner's place. And all the stress and burden of making full atonement for the sins of all His people. But Jesus did it willingly. He came for that purpose. For that loving purpose. For undeserving sinners. And for Jesus it involves, think of it, it involves leaving all the glories of heaven with His Father in eternal splendor and holiness and peace and joy to come down instead to this evil, ungodly, cursed world full of sin, to suffer alone here inexpressible humiliation and untold pain of heart and body and sorrows and shame and miseries inexpressible. All for to save His people from their sins and sinfulness. What a priceless gift. So the message of Luke 2 is as gloriously told by the angels to the shepherds in verse 10 and 11. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Glad tidings, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This surely tells, beloved, of God's precious gift. Just priceless. Simply priceless. Even too with Luke telling how it all happened so marvelously. Indeed, with so many little details of providence overruling the dictates of the world leaders, who thought they were in control. That while they were giving their orders, God Himself was quietly and most majestically and powerfully fulfilling all His gospel promises, exactly as had been prophesied and promised throughout the whole Old Testament period before. It's priceless, don't you think, to see God triune, so faithful and precise and caring, that it be very clear to all, whether the whole world recognize it or not, that with the giving of His Son, God thought of everything good and kind and wonderful and bountiful and convincing and comforting for sinners like us. Just think of Jesus being born in Bethlehem as the great Son of David, when all the odds were against that, with Nazareth far removed from Bethlehem. But God took care of that too, you see. All exactly as foretold by the prophet Micah hundreds of years before. In Micah 5 verse 2, we read there, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of towns of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And just think of Joseph and Mary finding no place for them in Bethlehem and having to sleep in a barn or an outside cave stable in the Bethlehem area and having no crib for baby Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, but a manger, just a feeding trough for Him to be placed in. God took care of that all too, you see, in His providence, that right away the gospel message might be clear. Jesus came as Savior of sinners to suffer all the rejection and humiliation and poverty that we sinners deserve. He took that on Himself, that by His once for all life and sacrifice as Savior, even yes, to the death of the cross, we sinners might be redeemed and reconciled to God when trusting and following after Him. This precious gift, Savior, infinitely priceless, whom God gave and sent in the fullness of time. To see more how priceless the gift, God's precious gift of His Son is, just think too of the angels involved in telling of His birth. I mean, the one angel, and then the multi-angelic choir of angels celebrating in heavenly strains and song in the dark of the night to the shepherds in some fields around Bethlehem and singing the good news to them with Jesus' birth and coming, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then think too, later, of that special star that God arranged to shine in the night sky for those wise men coming from the east to guide them in their search for the Christ child that was born. You see, every detail was arranged by God the Father, that whether the world would recognize it or not, the gospel message is clear with Jesus' birth. We are given God's most precious gift, so needed by us, and surely infinitely priceless beyond measure or calculation or count. You know, at this time of the year, often we share gifts with one another, in our families and with our friends and our acquaintances. And that's all good and fine, as long as we all realize and remember and keep reminding ourselves that no gift can compare with God's priceless gift with the sending of His Son into the world. Congregation, there is no gift ever given with more love and thought and preparation and purpose and promise, even of everlasting value, as the gift of God sending His Son into this world to seek and to save sinners like you and like me. And God's people know and testify this, that no gift given them from others here on earth can compare to this gift. And God's people testify that even if we are given no gifts, or if we even lose all we have of this world, yet if the priceless gift of Christ be received by us, and then we have more than enough, and more than all the gold and oil and riches of this fleeting world that they could ever provide us. Well, again, let me ask you all, from the older ones to the younger, none excluded. Is this your and my confession of faith today? What a priceless gift is Christ, and so needed gift. Do you personally acknowledge what we sing in Psalter 203 based on Psalm 73? Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but Thee, to whom my thoughts aspire? And having Thee on earth is nothing that I can yet desire. To live apart from God is death. 'Tis good His face to seek. My refuge is the living God. His praise I long to speak. What reasons to praise Him? As John 3:16 declares, for God so loved the world, this fallen world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, when you put it all together, what Luke 2:1-20 and John 3:16-17 proclaims to us, and you repent of sin and believe in the gospel message of Jesus' birth and mission, then you realize and acknowledge it's all about God's precious gift. So needed and just priceless. And next, yes, all free. All for free. Yes. All free too for undeserving sinners like us all. Whoever will hear and believe this simple, profound gospel message of Jesus Christ as given us in God's Word. When believing the gospel tidings of Jesus' birth, beginning with the telling of His miraculous conception, and then of His birth in Bethlehem, and then about the angels and their message and song to the shepherds, and of how the shepherds just had to go and see this thing that had come to pass, and how they rejoiced exceedingly and made widely known that which was told them concerning the child, this child that they themselves saw lying in the manger, and then also about the wise men who came later and fell down before the young child and worshipped Him and opened their treasures and presented gifts to Him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, as told in Matthew 2. And then when you learn about the story of Simeon with Jesus and then of Anna with Jesus, oh, it's clearly, isn't it? All such good news, freely proclaimed and promised and offered to all who have ears to hear. But let's take care not just to marvel at it, but to receive it and to believe it with heart and lips sincere. It doesn't matter how lowly you may be, like the shepherds surely were, or how rich and esteemed you may be, as the wise men from the east clearly were. Regardless too, whether from Jewish or Gentile background, or male or female, young or old, from within a covenant family or outside a covenant family, the gospel message is about the one and only Savior of sinners for all this world, for all peoples. For God so loves the world, the text says, this fallen world and all in it. God's precious gift above all, in and through Him, is freely offered to all people, none excluded and all included. Think here again how the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And the gospel call from John 3:16 is what? Whoever believes shall be saved. The Lord is rich to all that call upon Him, Paul writes later. And no one need perish in his or her sins now. No, not with Jesus having come into this world, sinners like us, to save. Putting Luke 2, verse 10, with John 3, verse 16 and 17, will there be anyone among us who yet thinks there's no good news for you? And the gospel is beyond help for you, a sinner like you. We can sometimes think that. And the devil wants to have us be persuaded of that. But no, in Jesus' name, as ambassador of Christ, I appeal to you. Come, one and all, sinners of every stripe and type, come to Jesus. And you will find forgiveness and healing and remedy and refuge and cleansing and renewal with Christ the Savior. All for free. Jesus never failed yet freely to save a sinner who calls on Him in faith and repentance. He has a perfect success record, a Savior of sinners. No sinner's case is ever too much or too difficult or too disgusting or too far gone that is beyond His help and His power to save and to cleanse and to revive and renew and restore. God's priceless gift of His Son is enough and more than enough for the vilest of the vile who comes to Him. God so loved the world that He can take care of every sinner's case who comes to Him. In fact, He delights in and through Christ, His only begotten Son, as crucified and risen Savior. He delights to serve as Savior for us fully and freely, initially and continually till our last day. Oh, that this Christmas Day 2020, God's people among us may so rejoice and glory in Christ the Savior, their Savior, and that more may be added to Him in faith and repentance. Indeed, many more may be added to those who trust and follow this Jesus Christ with heart and lip sincere. I tell you, the Savior of sinners, foretold in the Old Testament and born in Bethlehem, who lived in Nazareth and was crucified on Golgotha and was raised from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea in that garden, and then who ascended into heaven 40 days later from the Mount of Olives, and who is now seated at God's right hand in glory. Listen, He is able and willing to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. How urgent that we all, listening now, also from our homes, yes, the children and youth too, and all older ones, that we all come to this Jesus in true faith and repentance, and that that will mark our lives for as long as we live, while still in this day of grace. How urgent. And here we come briefly yet to our last sermon point about God's precious gift with the sending of His Son. God's precious gift, we saw, is so needed and just priceless and all free. And notice, yet most earnest. Most earnest. And by most earnest, we mean this gospel message about the precious gift of God's Son sent into the world to seek and to save sinners. It's not a gift to despise and to care less about. John 3:16 makes clear the only way not to perish in our sins and under God's everlasting righteous condemnation and judgment is to repent and believe this gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's not so that not believing leaves you in a state still okay, where all is fine and good. No, no. For not believing means living and dying in your sins still. And that is terrible. Not only for this life, but to appear before God in the final judgment, that is endlessly terrifying if you appear before Him without the Savior as your Savior. And it will bring you into the place of eternal darkness. Do you want to dwell and live in eternity in a place of endless hatred and awful darkness forever? Won't you rather live in a place of eternal love and everlasting light, as Jesus makes for His people who trust Him? Well, will everyone listen now then and take this gospel to heart and ponder it in your heart and live accordingly in all your life, even as Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and others did, by grace through faith, ever trusting and following after Jesus Christ as their only Savior and Lord. Don't let the tidings of Jesus' birth and first coming born in Bethlehem just be a sentimental, worldly type Christmassy thing, but rather the good news of the gospel that ever has you full of praise and worship of God and living in testimony of Him, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Luke 2:1-20 and John 3:60. It all tells very simply and profoundly the gospel message about Jesus coming to this world as God's precious gift, so needed, just priceless, all free, and most earnest. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Are we listening? Are you listening? Each one. Again here now, having just heard this sermon, I come to my challenge mentioned earlier. A challenge for the children and the youth and everyone listening. I'm not saying you have to take it up or you have to take me up on it, but I'm hoping many of you will. My challenge to you all, including to myself, that at some time in the days ahead, maybe even possibly today, you write out as neatly as you can part of Luke 2:1-20, and then John 3:16-17. And then you make and you color a frame border around that writing. You can call the picture God's precious gift with Jesus' birth. And then on the four sides of the frame, you can put the 4 points of this sermon. His gift so needed on the top, maybe. And then on the side, His gift, so priceless. And then on the bottom, His gift, all free. I should say His gift, just priceless. And then His gift, all free. And then on the last side of the frame, His gift, most earnest. Maybe we can collect all the pictures and make a booklet out of them and have it each in our homes. And we can show others, whoever visits, and tell the good news of the gospel to them. Or we could take pictures of our pictures and maybe post them. Maybe even on the website, though I'm not promising that right now. But who knows? Regardless, what do you think? Will you go for it? I'll give you a sample right after the service. It's not the best sample, but it's just like to encourage you to do it and to worship God even as you do. Oh, dear congregation, if you ignore my little sermon challenge about a picture, no harm done either, I guess. And I'm not imposing it on anyone, no. However, just be sure, everyone, not to ignore this sermon, but to receive it as the authoritative word of the Lord. And so by God's grace and Spirit, to believe it and to rejoice in it and to reflect it in word and deed, however and wherever and whenever the Lord gives you opportunity. For we live in dark and dreary times. And the only ultimate good news that really makes all the difference for good is, yes, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ as told to us in Luke 2:1-20 and explained and applied further in John 3:16-17 and many other scriptures as well. Even so, O God, triune, prosper your gospel word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.